Yorana from Tahiti, and welcome to Filled With His Love. We all know that anger can destroy relationships. Couples fighting with each other, parents using harsh words with children, siblings verbally attacking each other, friends lashing out at one another. Any kind of angry interaction can do so much damage to relationships. So I want to talk about anger today and how we can deal with it. I have a friend who once said, quote, "Expressing anger is healthy. You need to recognize the source of your anger and let it out. If you don't, it will just keep building up inside you and get worse. So I believe that when you feel anger, you should vent it a lot until it's all gone and you don't feel angry anymore," end quote. In one sense, this approach sounds logical. It certainly sounded logical to my friend. We might subscribe to any of the following common sayings, for example. We've got lots of these sayings in our culture. Blow off steam. Say your piece. Speak your mind. Get it out of your system. Air your grievances. And the list goes on and on. It's a common belief that it's good to express anger when you feel it. But is it? A new study published April 1st, 2024 is entitled, "Venting Doesn't Reduce Anger, But Something Else Does." The author is Russell McClendon, and it's published in Science Alert. So here are a few excerpts from the study. And by the way, it was a massive meta-analysis, which means they took the results of many studies that included over 10,000 individuals of different genders, various ages, and different ethnic backgrounds. One of their summary findings, what was it? Quote, "Our research shows that any good feeling we get from venting actually reinforces aggression," end quote. Let's think about that for a minute. They didn't just find that venting is not a healthy way to get rid of anger. They found that venting actually makes the problem worse. In other words, venting makes you more angry than you were before you decided to let it all out, quote. The anger apparently didn't go all out. It exacerbated the problem. The more you vent, the more angry you can become. Interesting, don't you think? So much for homespun wisdom. Sometimes things that sound logical to us are not only misleading, they can be totally false. So how did the researchers say we should get rid of our anger? Because anger happens, and so we need to know how to deal with it. Here's what they concluded. Quote, "To reduce anger, it is better to engage in activities that decrease arousal levels. Despite what popular wisdom may suggest, even going for a run is not an effective strategy because it increases arousal levels and ends up being counterproductive." Again, very interesting. So going for a run can be healthy for your heart and can help us maintain a good weight, but it's not such a good way to get rid of angry feelings. Apparently, the faster our heart beats, the more we get worked up if we were angry at the beginning of the run. Another quote, "Calming activities reduced anger in the lab and in the field. Effective arousal-reducing activities included slow flow yoga, mindfulness, progressive muscle relaxation, diaphragmatic breathing, and taking a time out." You're likely familiar with slow flow yoga, mindfulness, and progressive muscle relaxation. This is where you tense muscles and then relax them, tense them, relax them. But you might not know the term diaphragmatic breathing. This is when you contract your diaphragm. This is the muscle just below your stomach. And breathe really deeply, concentrating on taking a lot of breath and then taking in a lot of breath and then letting it out slowly. If you haven't tried it, you should. It's a great way to manage any kind of stress as well as get rid of anger. Take a deep breath in, hold it, hold it, hold it, and then gradually, slowly let it out and then take another one in. It's a great technique. Their last technique really caught my eye. Taking a time out. When we were raising our children, tensions could build at times, and when they did, one might say, hey, I'm going to go out for a few minutes. I might say to my wife, I'm going out for a few minutes. I'll be back in a while. In other words, instead of blowing up at each other for whatever was happening at the moment, we took time to relax and cool down. Then when we were more settled, we would talk through the thing that had given rise to the tension. Time out works. We used it frequently with our kids. When our kids began to fight with one another, we would say, okay, time to sit on the mad chair. Lolly's mom used to use this chair, and she called it the mad chair. And then we would say, hey, as soon as you feel like you can give your brother or sister a hug and tell them that you love them, that you're sorry for what happened, you can get off the chair. No time limit, no grounding. Just let them relax and let the anger go until they can forgive and forget and move forward. I still think it was one of the most effective things we did as parents. We were trying to teach our kids that venting was not the answer, fighting was not the answer, calming down was the answer. We can deal with anger, we can let it go, we just need a little time to calm down. What do the scriptures say about all this? In Matthew 5, 21 and 22, we read, quote, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell." Pretty strong words. But the whole thing is the Raca and you fool, exclamation point. These are harsh words. This is a way of taking out your anger on somebody else, fighting with them, attacking them verbally. Now, this does not sound like we're being counseled to let it go and to vent our anger on one another. Just the opposite. We are counseled not only to avoid committing murder, which is often the result of someone venting their anger, but we're also encouraged to never call someone a fool. In other words, to get mad at them. I do not think that these two verses just happen to be together. I think the anger venting follows the command to not commit murder because angry words, mean, harsh words, can kill something inside the unlucky recipient of our wrath. Words can kill the spirit just like knives and guns can kill the body. Consider President Nelson's talk on being a peacemaker. I believe this was one of his most powerful messages. And I've noticed recently that he has counseled us to get rid of contention many times, not just in this talk, but many times before. When prophets repeat messages more than once, this should be a clue that we really need to pay attention. He certainly did not recommend venting. He encouraged us to forgive one another, understand one another, and never lash out at each other, to avoid contention. So when you put together the results of this very large study, along with the verses in Matthew, and then read President Nelson's talk, we should all be quite convinced that venting our anger, particularly on somebody else, is not only an unhealthy thing to do, it's downright destructive it's destructive to us if we're venting, and it's destructive to the one who receives our harsh words. So if you happen to have a problem dealing with anger or stress, or if you know someone who has the problem, I hope you'll try some of the techniques we've mentioned and reread President Nelson's talk. We need to find ways to calm down, to reflect on what happened that made us angry, so that we don't get angry at that thing again. I'm convinced that if we do, you'll be happier and the people around you will be happier as well, and our relationships will improve. Hope this is helpful, and we will see you next time.